seeing the map. I'm sorry, I apologize, I didn't bring my laptop. Do you want a copy, Madam Clerk? Okay, so the first item on the agenda is an application from a rezone. It's a rezone from Ag to RR5. Now, the subject parcel, I apologize, the red line should be adjusted just a little to the south. It should be south of Stacker Drive there. That's the parcel that we're talking about for the rezone. So that parcel, it's a 12.4-acre parcel. It's part of a larger 59-acre parcel owned by Ms. Marianne Minster. Currently, the entire parcel is zoned ag, so that's the reason for the rezone. The rezone is asking for a change to RR5, Rural Residential 5. A little history on the parcel. The town purchased Stacker Drive, is it last year?
Yes, last fall.
So the town purchased Stacker Drive for ingress and egress from the K-5 school, which is located to the west of the parcel in question. Ms. Minster, so that split the parcel into a 42-acre section and then the remaining 12.4 acres, plus or minus. So Ms. Minster's land to the north will remain agriculturally zoned, but we're talking strictly about that parcel that's in the within that red line. So there's a mix of residential housing to the west and the south. And then the Bloomfield parcel is to the west, so a rezone to RR5 appears compatible with all the surrounding zoning. That's the Split Diamond subdivision to the east there. And then, is it Trails End is to the south?
Yes.
Trails End, and I believe that is currently zoned RR10.
So you say there's residential to the west?
I'm sorry, to the east. And okay. To the south.
Yeah.
Neighbor notices were sent out, and this was advertised in the paper in July. I received no written comments. I sent the rezone application out to Roden Bridge, Weedon Pest, the Fire Warden, Sheriff's Office, the School District, Game and Fish, and YDOT. I received no comments from any of those entities. So staff believes this is a fairly straightforward request, and the Planning Commission met on August 17th. And recommended 5-0 to approve the rezone. So with that, I can answer any questions the board might have.
And it's 12 acres?
Correct. Okay. And then just bear in mind, so the rezone obviously is the first step, and then if the board approves the rezone, we'll move on to the minor subdivision application.
Okay. Any further questions, gentlemen?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Comments?
Does the 12 acres encompass the road too, or is that?
To the south of Stacker Drive.
From here to here is 12
Correct.
Acres?
Correct, yeah. Stacker is not included in that 12.4. Okay. And then the minor subdivision application will have two 6.2-acre lots.
Okay.
And there is a resolution, I don't know.
Yep.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion at this point.
Make a motion that we move ahead with the rezone of the, what do you want to call it? What was it called?
It's just
the Minster Field. Yeah.
Second.
Should be written there.
Okay. Has been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution number 17-100314N, a resolution adopting the recommendation of the Sublette County Planning and Zoning Commission and approving application of Marianne Minster to rezone 12 acres. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
All right. And then the next item will be the application for a minor subdivision. As I mentioned earlier, you'll have a 12.4-acre lot that's now rezoned as RR5, so this application will create two 6.2-acre lots. One issue that was discussed in front of the P&Z Commission was the high groundwater in the area. We've discussed it with Brian Gray, who's representing the applicant. And what do we agree? There will be a plat warning.
There's a warning on the plat.
Discussing high groundwater and the need for perhaps a delineation study.
Does any of the surrounding subdivisions have issues with that? Did you know what?
Not that I know of.
It's traditionally been used as irrigated pasture land, so I mean there is water in the area, but
sure.
Yeah, it's nothing that that I'm aware of.
site that they've had issues with prior. I mean, there is high groundwater, but there's no wetlands that have been delineated in the surrounding area.
So a person that goes to buy it, they will see that there is a high groundwater warning on the plat.
Correct.
And the biggest impact, if I can, is the septic systems.
Yeah.
So
it'll have to be an above-ground septic.
That or an engineered septic is gotcha. What approved by DEQ, I guess, is what we put on there with the PNZ. And, some of the surrounding lots maybe have conventional systems, depending on, you know, what mound they're on or if they're not on a mound kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
But
okay.
Most of them aren't developed, it looks like.
But there will be a plot warning about the any septic system. I believe the language says any septic system will need to be designed by a licensed engineer and be in conformance with the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality.
Okay, that'll be a plot warning.
Correct.
Okay.
Again, I sent a staff report out to Road and Bridge, Weed and Pest, Fire Warden, the SO, School District, Game and Fish, and YDOT, as well as the neighboring property owners within 1,000 feet. I received no written comments. This was advertised in the paper in July. And again, the Planning Commission voted on August 17th to approve the application on a 5-0 vote. Any questions the county commissioners may have? I can take
very good. And
what's this lot right here?
Here's the plot.
Is this?
So yeah, the red this line. The red line should here. Be. Yeah, it
both
should
them
be shifted.
Here.
Correct. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I messed that up.
So how many acres is this?
These are 10-acre lots.
10-acre lots. Yeah. Okay.
Here's the high groundwater.
Okay.
You gentlemen want to check out the plot warning?
No, I don't.
Sure. Okay. Again, with that, staff is recommending approval of the minor subdivision application, and I can answer any questions you may have.
My memory ain't what it used to be. Is there a size to the lot restriction?
They're 5-acre minimums.
Fives. Okay. That's what I was curious.
Motion?
I make a motion we move forward with this minor subdivision for Marianne Minster.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the minor subdivision change. I guess it's not a change, it's a...
You can say approval of the plat.
Approval, yeah. Approval of the minor subdivision plat as presented. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Sign the plat. What's the sign away? Right here. Yeah.
I'm assuming if we drop it off, we can get Joel's signature on it sometime.
Do you want to just bring it over?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll
drop it off tomorrow. Or
that'd be good. Yeah, he had surgery yesterday, cool. So he's on his way home.
Okay.
But
good
I would expect we'll see him. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it's his left shoulder, oh. So, yeah.
You'd never know.
It's still MacDoya. So they put, I don't know where that MacC comes out.
Skyler didn't catch that one.
I'm good. Okay.
So what's the C stand for, Mac?
Well, my dad's name was Charles. My brother's middle name is Charles. Mine's William. I have no idea. Somebody's been peeking on the internet.
So I can just go ahead and sign you one.
Sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
As chairman, I can see
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
Sign your name.
I've got
Mac Willie.
And then do you want to discuss the contract with Jorgensen?
Yep.
All right. So I prepared a draft contract with Jorgensen to assist us in this time between now and when we finally hire a new PNZ director. Brian's reviewed the contract. He didn't have any concerns.
Are you sure?
So, yeah, it's either party can terminate at any time for any reason or no reason. So I figure once we seat somebody and they get up and running, yeah, the contract will come to an end.
Okay. Awesome.
I take it you have no problem with it.
I don't. I wrote it.
Try not to smile. Try not to smile. All right. We'll need a motion to accept the contract for services.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept this contract with Jorgensen.
Second.
Has been moved and seconded that we enter into a contract for services with Jorgensen and Associates as presented. Any further discussion?
Can you think like Bart?
Good deal. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And just for the commission's information, I have two applications I'm going to drop off immediately. Good. Spirit Winds, the Bondurant subdivision, the major subdivision by Scott Leeper. And then I have a conditional use permit for a dog kennel down in Boulder.
Okay, perfect. We'll let the parties know. Food contact.
I don't think so anymore.
Not anymore.
All right. That was all I had. Thank you very much. I appreciate
good.
It.
Thanks, man.
Nice smile.
Did you have any luck with the thing in Tora? The 34 stocks.
This is your. Wanted you to have it back.
34 dogs in Cora.
I haven't received any.
We talked about the phone call.
Thank you.
It was last week.
Oh, yes.
The neighbors. It's not Cora. It's out at Tyler Subdivision.
I'm not seeing anything that P&Z regs that addresses that. I mean, I'm not saying it's not a nuisance, but I'm saying that, boy.
No, I just don't know where to go.
I don't know. I think they have a dynamite civil case, but I'd be hesitant for us to get involved at this point.
Didn't we adopt some sort of county policy that you could only have so many chickens per acre and things like that?
It covers llamas, chickens, horses, cows, but
does not cover dogs.
No mention of dogs. Yeah, there's what is it, AUMs, and so you can have one AUM per acre.
Right,
yeah.
But can't you put a dog into an AUM? You so many dogs makes an AUM.
We could, but there's nothing in the
regs. Because, I mean, we've got that for every other animal. So many chickens makes an AUM. So many sheep makes an AUM. Yeah. One cow. Yeah.
I don't know if they have covenants out there, but that would be one place for them to look, and that's civil.
Yeah, it's a platted subdivision, so I could see them having CCNRs.
Yeah.
Have they contacted you?
Yep.
Multiple times?
Twice.
Okay. Why don't I give you a call and we can maybe discuss options? But I looked at the regs and I wasn't seeing much that we could do.
I didn't know if there was anything in there or not. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's touch base after the meeting. We
can try and stop by when we get back to town.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thanks, Matt. Right.
And then I have a couple things for you.
Yeah. You go.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right.
We're ahead of schedule, but Lance is too. So that's awesome. Come on up.
I noticed on the agenda it says LR Services, but it's actually LR Communications, Inc. So my name is Lance Lauder.
Good to see you again, Lance.
Good to see you guys. I've sat in on several meetings, actually.
You
bet. So, tell us what's on your mind, Lance.
Well, I think as you guys know, we're bringing internet service to a good chunk of the county. Mm-hmm. And our future goals is Bondurant, but that proves to be a little harder area to cover than most. What we're wondering there is if the county had much discussion about letting private enterprise co-locate on some of their towers and facilities. And Bondurant is of the most particular interest to us because the site on Kismet Peak has the best view of that location. And so that's really where, what I was looking for is, discussion regarding that.
Well, it's something that we definitely need to open up to discuss. Does anybody have any gut instincts on this one right off the top of your head?
To our contractor and see if the RF signals and the tower is big enough for the spacing and such issues like that.
I think we need to talk to our communications specialist. Yeah. But, you know, to me, I guess I don't see any issues with as long as it doesn't interfere with anything that we do, and it is open to any and all takers, too.
Right.
That's going to be the, I guess that's going to be the trick, Lance. How do you see that panning out? I mean, so LR Communications Incorporated gets a site on Kismet.
Visionary don't.
Yeah. Somebody else doesn't? Or?
Yeah, I don't. That's, yeah. It's always an interesting
kind of a conundrum,
discussion.
Isn't it?
It yeah. might be something we have to put out to an RFP.
It might have to be an RFP.
And you guys bid on it.
Say, we'll give you this, and the other person says, we'll give you that. I don't know. It's something for us to discuss, and to open up this communication is an important deal. I think it's great idea. We just have to level the playing field.
No, I understand. We've engaged in several such actions before, so I understand.
I'm sure.
One of the things we currently have kind of in process is a tower site possibly in Pinedale, but it sounds like the town is less than amenable to those that proposal.
Sure.
I mean, so that there may be some desire to do something or seek co-location on maybe the county's facility there in the future.
Oh, the Sheriff's Department Tower?
So,
I don't know.
Is there any possibility of all the independent contractors getting together to co-locate? Or is that just too much competition?
I mean, typically, competition doesn't get along very well on a tower, and it usually has a lot to do with frequency use and interference and things like that.
Gotcha.
Well, we operate primarily in the unlicensed spectrum. We prefer not to be on towers where there's other providers doing the same thing.
Okay.
Because there's no, aside from lease agreements with the landowner or the structure owner that prohibits interfering with other parties, if it occurs and there's not something in that contract, we're kind of, you're left to try to work around each other.
Right. Could you put together something that explained to us your needs for that Kismet Tower?
Okay.
And then that is something that we can get to our communications person and say, this is what they are, this is what they need. Is this possible on our tower?
Sure.
I think Joe Sharkey touched base on this the other night, didn't he? I don't recall what.
Well, my question is that I do appreciate your company coming into Sublette County, and you haven't come to us wanting money. You're looking for a place to put your towers. But my question is why wouldn't Pinedale want to let you get on a tower in Pinedale?
I thought so much that it's the construction of a tower. It sounds like the town has a they want to limit the number of towers, and I can certainly understand that from an aesthetic standpoint, but I get the impression at this point they have the intention to either the town or somehow manage the construction of a tower at a location they choose, but they fail to take some of the technical aspects of co-location and interference, and of course what kind of coverage providers can get. And we have 12 sites in the county now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pretty decent coverage area, but when it comes to providing service to the customers, the closer the tower to the customer, the better their service is going to be, the less interference generated for other customers and other carriers. So it's kind of the same thing with cell phone companies. You see it all the time. They want to put more towers closer together, especially near the populous areas, but no one wants a tower in their backyard, so it's certainly an interesting balancing game. And I don't know that I answered your question very well, but
well, it kind of does, but I'm trying to get a grasp on this whole thing. So I'll ask you this question. If we brought fiber into this county, is that going to help your company? Or is it going to cost you business?
Is it
going to
be in competition with your business?
With your company?
To be honest with you, I don't know that more fiber is going to really help the county's position. Fiber through Big Pioneer and Marbleton here could certainly help this side of the county. Pinedale itself, I mean, we lease fiber from CenturyLink's parent company. We have a pair of fiber leased from Mount Airy to our data center in Denver. We actually have 10 gigs of capacity into Pinedale, which at last I heard was 10 times more than CenturyLink was even using to feed their network. I don't know where additional fiber is going to help, to be honest with you.
Haven't made the statement you just made. Have you looked at any opportunities, or do you have anything you might could offer the south end of town in terms of increased service?
The south end of town?
South end of the county.
Oh, okay.
You know, we mentioned, when we talked way back in a previous work session, I mentioned to you Ross Butte. And I don't know if you went up there and looked at it at the south end. It was down County Road 110 from Albert Summers' place. I'm still inquiring because I hear a lot of conversation about increased coverage as far out as Cora, as far out as Bondurant, and yet you look on 351 between Pinedale and San Draw and Big Dead Spot. So I'm just wondering, is anybody looking at that particular location? Is there any possibility for wireless in that area?
We've briefly looked at the Butte. There is a tower right by San Draw there that is soon to have our equipment on it as well, where we'd be able to offer some more services that direction. As far as Big Piney Marbleton directly, we haven't brought services here aside from dedicated kind of high-end business services, because there's other providers in the area here. You know, WIM.com, NGL, and I believe Visionary's offering services here now as well. So for us, it was kind of a, does the market make sense to bring services further south? Right now, we were concentrating on the areas that didn't have coverage. A new addition for us was Kendall Valley, you know, up toward the Green River Lakes. Largely, those customers were unserved or very underserved. Bondurant's kind of another one of those where there's not, there's not many options, and what's there is seems to be less than satisfactory to the residents. So we're trying to concentrate more on where there is none versus where there is some options, even if everyone's not happy with them. To be honest, Big Piney Marbleton, the south portion of the county, is really more on our agenda for next year. We've pretty much reached the end of the building season for this year.
I would say if you had any type of a proposal that you could show us, it might help us see if it's even a feasible option.
Okay. We'll certainly put that together.
Yeah.
There was one other comment, and I know I had some in-length discussion with Bart before his untimely about county regs as far as tower and heights. It's 60 feet, I believe, in ag and industrial, but in residential in the county, it's a 30-foot limit. And there was some discussion about just increasing that to being 60-foot uniform across there.
It was.
We have a lot of customers that, we'll go out, we can't get them service because of an obstruction, something in the way. Mm-hmm. Well, what can we do to get service? Well, you can build a tower, but you're residential, you're limited to 30 feet. If you went higher, we'd need 60, 70 feet, something along those lines, we might be able to get you service. Restricting some or lessening some of those restrictions may help the customers of the...
Are those restrictions countywide?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So even if it's not agricultural, even if it's RR10, it still applies?
Yeah.
So what is it... Just for informational purposes, what's the estimated cost to build such a tower?
If it's a single, we call it a raw 25G, a lightweight tower for a single antenna, a couple $1,000s prospectively. I mean, mm-hmm. Certainly attainable for most residents. We don't typically construct those kind of things for customers unless they want to pay for the construction costs up front.
Sure.
We put people to the correct contractors and such if they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not uncommon for us to go out to install someone and there's a tree in their way. Well, hold on a minute, I'll solve that problem for you. So it's certainly become more important to people than I thought it was, to be honest with you. I'll put together kind of a proposal what we're looking at from a KISMA standpoint.
Possible, proposal there. Just take a look at it.
I'd One thing that would help me in that regard is to actually be able to see the site. I have not been to the site. It seems like it's surrounded by private lands. So there might be some access issues there as well.
Yep.
But if
you'd have to go with our communication guy.
Okay.
Dave Smith.
Because we've got an easement. The county's got an easement.
The county has an easement, but yeah, that's not a public easement.
Right.
Right. So in any regard, if
I think
some assistance to be able to visit the site would be helpful prior
sure.
to that.
So. Absolutely. I would say just contact Dave Smith, our communications guy, and I'm sure he can show you that.
It sounds like your building time is over for this year.
Pretty much.
I don't know if this comes into the November thing we're discussing.
Yeah, could be. I guess I'm just looking for what he's wanting to even see if it's possible.
Yeah, perspectively, probably four antennas. I don't know what the site looks like or what the size of the tower is, but
right. And I don't know if any of your frequencies or anything like that will have a problem with anything that the county has there, too. I mean, so these are all
spacing and
all of that stuff needs to be
right.
Understood before we even think about
are they licensed frequencies.
Pretty much everything we run is unlicensed to the site from major backhaul stuff between towers. Kismet, I can't see being a busy enough site when we're licensed. At least initially, we wouldn't.
I guess probably the best thing for you to do is just to contact Dave Smith and just let him know that we've been talking and you need to take a look at the site.
Okay.
Without making any promises.
No worries, I understand. It's kind of the last option for me, so we.
Sure.
We prefer to do things ourselves privately.
So if it does turn out that it doesn't has no contraindications to anything that the county does, then that's when the next step goes. We have to decide whether this gets opened up to everybody or nobody.
I think what I'd like to say is you talk to Dave Smith, tell him what you're thinking, and have Dave contact us in an email.
Yeah, he can give us a report.
Okay. And we'll go from there, step by step.
Yeah. Let's see if it's feasible first, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Lance.
We appreciate you guys' time.
You bet.
Yep. Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, we're ahead of schedule. Betty, you got anything for us?
No. I didn't think there'd be this much time. I could have come up with something.
Oh, no, that's good.
You still got time.
It's good. Do you think we could get a hold of Jeanette early?
We could do that hearing, I think, any time.
Why don't we? Okay. Let's go ahead and get that hearing over with, and then if Kathy gets here early, then we can take her early.
Okay.
Are you making birthday dinner tonight?
I haven't decided yet.
Better hurry up.
I'll see what's on there.
Whose birthday?
Rod's.
Oh, birthday. My goodness.
Yeah. Mr. 88.
88. Mm-hmm. Warm him up a burrito.
That's exactly what I had. I did bake a cake.
Oh, put a candle in it.
So I think I'm off the hook.
Well, I'm not until I give him a call. I'll plan on doing that.
Okay.
As soon as we get through, let them know at least one person is thinking about him. I'm sure his grandkids have chimed in.
Could be. It seems I'm just. Tell Mary to shut up. But these towers, that really is going to can be a problem down the road, can't it, as time goes on? If everybody has to have their own tower.
Hell, I'm thinking about putting one out at my house. Yeah. I don't care.
Hey, Janice.
A tower. This thing could
look
like
this is Mary Langford. How are you?
There has to be a solution to that.
Good.
Hey, the commissioners want to have this Board of Equalization hearing on this guy.
I don't know.
Who's on your Board of Equalization hearing?
We'd like you to join us by phone. Are you
okay
Loomis,
right here on your cell phone? How is he going to radio
the
microwave from where
to
get
the taxes? Okay, I'm going to
put your
taxes on.
Okay. Okay. Here's Janice.
Hello, Janice.
Hello, how are you?
Doing good, thanks. So we need to, let's go out of session as Board of County Commissioners, and I'll need a motion to to convene as a Board of Equalization.
So moved.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded that we go into session as a Board of Equalization. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We are now the Board of Equalization. Janice, go ahead and fill us in on what we need to know.
Agricultural affidavits in late December or early January of every year, and they are due March 1st of that year for that tax year. We sent it to the Conservation Fund, who was the buyer of the property in question, and didn't receive it back. Sent a second notice in April, and it was late in March, it was like March 19th, and I took it to find that it's back. We also did not receive that back, so we changed that property from an agricultural tax status to a fair market valuation status. They received their assessment schedule in April, and they have 30 days from the time of the assessment schedule to contact us if they feel there's an error, and they did not do so. They actually didn't contact us until after they received the tax bill, and of course, you know, the sequence of events that occurs, you know, as far as getting, we set our values at the end of the assessment protest period. We send in our abstract to the State Board of Equalization by June 1st. They certify that value. Once that value is certified, then you receive the value and you set the mill levy based on the budget you receive. So all those processes have happened. We had transferred the tax roll to the treasurer, and it was at that point that they contacted us and told us that they felt that that was inaccurate. So that's my perspective on it.
Yeah. And your communication with that outfit at this point, have you said anything to them in effect to, you're late?
yes, I have. I think Mary also may have access to those emails. If not, I can forward those.
Yeah, we've got a hard copy here, Janice, of all the email.
Mm-hmm.
So it will show in there that she advised them that they were late, way late.
Yeah.
Way late.
Yeah. And at this point, Janice, it's the same issue that we've had with anybody else that's come to us late. You just have to go with what you did for the year and make your changes for the following year. That is my personal opinion.
I believe that you are correct, and we do have them in a list to send the agricultural affidavit to again. They still will be obligated to the same dates for the next agricultural affidavit, and hopefully they will get it completed and returned to us.
Right.
So that it will be an agricultural tax base for 2019.
Yeah. Right. Do you guys have any comments?
I'm in agreement with you, Mr. Chairman.
We just have to stay consistent.
And we have all along. It's just what we do. It's unfortunate, but we're going to have to stick to our guns.
Yeah. Do you have any other questions for me?
I don't think so. Do we need to take action in this meeting?
Yep.
File a formal protest, Mary?
The only thing that I've got, Janice, is he sent that, the email that he sent, and I believe you've got the same one.
So if he hasn't made a formal protest, then just your explanation to him is the way it is.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, well, from our perspective, the formal protest has to have been in by May 20th of 2017.
Right.
Okay.
But that deadline was missed as well. So I don't know, you know, outside of that period of formal protest, I don't know what's supposed to happen.
Okay. Yeah, the email at the end says perhaps the Board of Equalization might consider this email as our appeal for a reconsideration of the rate.
Okay.
So there you go. So we will need a motion then on this.
So in order to word this correctly, I guess we would need a motion, or the motion would be to deny the appeal on the part of the conservation fund on for this tax record or record of matter.
Yeah.
I'd make that motion.
Second. Okay. It has been moved and seconded that we deny the appeal presented by the conservation fund regarding this year's tax assessment. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Appeal has been denied. Is that all we need to do, Janice?
As far as I know.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, right. Janice. Thank
bye, Janice.
See ya.
See ya.
This is the conservation
fund? The Conservation Fund. Is the name of this outfit.
What about the Loomis Park Ranch?
Okay.
Yeah, but they never filed their ag affidavit on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they've got a list of reasons why they didn't, but the bottom line is they had to.
They weren't responsible.
Yeah.
That's about it. Yeah.
They got a note from their
The only thing that got their attention was their tax bill.
Sure.
Well, yeah, because their taxes should have been a few hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what is it, $7,000? Yeah. So.
Well, you have to read your mail. Pay attention.
Well, they got confused because they had another property too.
Oh.
And it was a bad winter.
And it was a bad winter.
Oh my gosh.
And the person they leased the place to just couldn't get up there to look at it. And it's like, so they leased it to Doug Vickery. Like, he doesn't know that country like the back of his hand.
Yeah, what does he have to do with the paperwork?
Yeah,
exactly.
And he couldn't have done anything but just go look at it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
doesn't have anything to do with.
And he's run cows up in that country forever. It's like, seriously.
You know, the impact of denying scholarships based on the same principle was far more significant. But it's the same thing. You got to pay attention and respond.
Cost you $7,000.
Yeah, be responsible.
Cost him more than that.
Yes, it
really did.
It may have cost you something too.
All right, we'll wait for Kathy. Okay, take a break.